Most of my books are now available as audiobooks. Go to maniacontheloose.com/audiobooks. If you like scary stories, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast. Sit back and relax. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and enjoy the ride. The Chase.
I'm a line cook for a large restaurant called the Iron Skillet. It was very late on a Tuesday night. The waitstaff had already finished their duties and departed, as had all of the other cooks. Normally, I would have been long gone too, but wanted to give the kitchen some extra cleaning. Most nights, the assistant manager would be there later than anyone else, but tonight, he had to tend to some family matters and asked me if I would close up for him, which I was happy to do. It was approximately 1 o'clock a.m. when I finished. Before locking up and going to my car, I decided to step out into the back alley and have a smoke. The alley was large and dark, it smelled of old cooking oil and garbage. I was leaning back against the wall and staring down the dreary alley at the darkened marquee of the movie theater across the street. As I exhaled multiple smoke rings, I was surprised to see the slender silhouette of a woman entering the alley. I was putting it together in my mind that it was an odd time of night for a lone woman to be coming down the alley, but then I realized something was wrong. She was running. And I don't mean leisurely. She was flying down the alley in a full-blown panic, huffing and puffing along the way. I straightened up and tossed my cigarette to the ground. As she entered the lit area around the alley door of the restaurant, I could see she was sweating profusely. Her emerald green eyes were darting around anxiously. "Are you okay?" She brushed her fine sandy blonde hair from her face and spoke in a flustered rush.
"They're after me."
"Who is?" I looked down the alley and saw no signs of life other than a fat rat sniffing around a metal dumpster. The woman latched onto my apron as she pleaded with me.
"Three men. They're chasing me. You have to help me, please."
I could hear footsteps of multiple people running. From the sounds of it, they'd be to the alley within seconds. I quickly opened the restaurant's back metal door and ushered the woman inside. I then took in a few deep breaths to relax my nerves, lit another cigarette, leaned back against the wall, and took a deep drag. She was right. There were three of them, and they were sprinting down the alley toward me. Two of the men zoomed past me and zipped down to the other end of the alley. The third man stopped in front of me. He eyed me intently as he leaned over and caught his breath. I said nothing. I waited for him to break the ice, which he did after rising back up. He sucked in one last deep gulp of oxygen before he questioned me.
"Did you see a girl run through here?"
I shrugged and tried to channel my inner Robert De Niro. "No, I didn't see anybody." The man was in his early 30s with close-cropped hair. He was of average height, but was solidly built. He was wearing a tight red t-shirt that highlighted his bulging biceps. I'm what some people may refer to as scrawny, so this was not a guy I wanted to tangle with.
"Really? You didn't see anyone come through here?"
I shrugged again and shook my head. The man looked around confused.
"I was sure I saw her come this way."
I was relieved that he was coming off more perplexed than suspicious. He seemed to be buying my false story. He shouted out to his companions,
"Do you see her anywhere?"
The other two men were out of the alley at that point, so I couldn't see them, but they were close enough that their answers echoed loudly down the alleyway.
No, no sign of her here.
Well, keep looking. I'll catch up to you.
The man in the front of me was clearly frustrated as he drove his fist against his thigh.
Damn it, where did she go?
He took in a few more deep breaths and then fully turned his focus on me, noticing my white cook's outfit.
What are you, a chef or something?
A line cook. He nodded and eyed the door behind me.
I'm parched. Could you give me a glass of water?
Under the circumstances, I figured being accommodating would be the right move. Perhaps he'd chug down the water and be on his way. Then I could find out from the girl what the hell was going on. Sure, hang on a minute. I opened the door and headed into the restaurant. To my surprise, the muscled man grabbed the door and followed me inside. I immediately gazed about, hoping that the woman was nowhere in sight. Initially, I thought that was the case, but then I spotted her foot and the lower part of her leg sticking out from behind a large freezer. If this guy spotted her, the jig would be up and he'd be all over the woman. It was obvious that I wouldn't be much help against the brawny guy in a physical confrontation. I continued to keep my cool as I grabbed a glass, filled it up with tap water, and handed it to the man, who wolfed it down rapidly. I really wanted to persuade the man to leave, but I was afraid that tactic may arouse suspicion. The man was casually looking around the kitchen. Not as though he were looking for the girl, but more like he found the guts of the restaurant's kitchen interesting. He was looking to my left, but if his gaze shifted to the right, and he peered down at the floor, he'd see her. I kept my focus on his eyes, hoping he'd keep his eyes away from the freezer area, but my fear came to fruition as he turned his head and stared directly at the area the girl was hiding. He was mere seconds away from spotting her, so I made a desperate move by quickly stepping up to him, thus blocking his view. Of course, this move would be unusual if I didn't accompany it with some dialogue, so I did just that. Who are you looking for? My tactic worked. His focus was now solely fixed on me.
A woman.
I let out a little chuckle. Aren't we all? The man was not amused. His expression was stone-cold serious.
Not just any woman. This woman is a serial killer. She killed my sister with an axe, and I know she's killed before. And she'll kill again if we don't catch her.
His last word was barely out of his mouth when his eyes widened in fear as he looked past me. I spun around as I heard a shriek coming from behind me, and I let out a gasp as I watched the woman bolt out from behind the freezer and rush toward us with a butcher knife in hand. The woman whizzed the knife inches from my face as she buried it into the chest of the muscled man. He lurched forward in an attempt to engage the woman, but the life rushed out of him quickly and he collapsed to the floor. The crazed woman ripped the knife from the man's chest, whirled around, and pressed it against my throat. I held up my hands in a defeated position and was practically hyperventilating as she moved her face mere inches from mine and whispered,
"Everything he said was true."
She then gave me a hard kiss on the lips.
"Thanks for saving me."
With that, she confidently strolled out of the restaurant and disappeared into the night. I never saw her again.
If you like what you're hearing, please consider contributing. Any amount helps. Recurring monthly contributions are best of all. Just go to maniacontheloose.com/support. That's maniacontheloose.com/support. The garbage disposal.
I live in an old apartment complex. It was pretty basic, nothing special, but it was close to where I worked and the rent was cheap. When the owner sold the building, the new owners quickly made it clear that they were not going to renew anyone's lease because they were going to completely gut and renovate the building. Unfortunately for me, my lease was up in 2 weeks, so I had to find a new place to live and fast. It's difficult enough finding a decent place to live when you can search at a leisurely pace, but when you're in a time crunch, it can be near impossible. I got lucky. There was a duplex apartment available less than a mile from where I worked. The landlord told me the ad wasn't live more than 10 minutes when I called. He expected dozens of calls after me and was positive he'd have the place rented before the end of the day. But since I called first, I was going to get first dibs. When he showed me the apartment, it appeared that someone was living there. The closets were full of women's clothing. There was a toothbrush and toothpaste on the bathroom sink. There was food in the refrigerator. Several pairs of women's shoes were sitting by the door. Nice shoes. They were way too big for me, or I may have asked if I could have them. The landlord was honest with me. He explained that he didn't know what happened to the previous tenant. He had been trying to reach her to renew her lease, but couldn't get a hold of her. Once her lease was up, he entered the apartment and could find no sign of her. It was as though she had vanished. That may have spooked some people, but not me. The duplex apartment was great. It had a decent-sized living room, small kitchen, and one bedroom with an attached full bathroom. It was much nicer than my previous apartment, and the rent was more than fair. The landlord said the person renting the apartment next door was an old woman that was quiet and kept mostly to herself. In other words, the perfect neighbor. The only caveat besides the unusual disappearance of the previous occupant was that the duplex was just down the block from a large, century-old sewer entrance. He insisted it didn't smell, but always liked to make sure prospective tenants were aware of it. That didn't bother me either, and I signed a lease on the spot. A week later, I was all moved in. I hadn't been there a week when I heard the first unusual sound. I was sitting in the living room eating a blueberry pie. The sound was coming from under the floorboards in the kitchen. It was a long, steady rubbing sound, like someone sliding their hand across the underside of the floor. It lasted about 20 seconds and then stopped. Had that been a persistent sound, I would have had to have asked the landlord about it, but I didn't hear anything else after that and forgot all about it. A week later, I was watching TV and eating oranges. Rather than throw the orange peels away, I like to put them in the garbage disposal. Doing so leaves the sink smelling like citrus. I threw all the orange peels in the sink. I always wait to do dishes right before I go to bed. I wanted to wait and grind them up in the garbage disposal then. After relaxing on the couch and watching a movie, it was nearing my bedtime. I went to the kitchen and started doing dishes. It didn't even dawn on me until I was halfway through that the orange peels were gone. Now, I was certain I put them in the sink. I even checked the trash just in case I wasn't thinking and threw them away. But they weren't there either. For the life of me, I could not figure out what happened to those orange peels. The only thing I could think was maybe they slid down the sink into the garbage disposal. Just in case that was what happened, I flicked the garbage disposal switch on. The garbage disposal roared to life and then suddenly halted, and I thought I heard the shriek of some kind of animal from within the depths of the sink. I immediately shut the garbage disposal off, and I swear I could hear a slithering sound from within the sink that gradually grew distant and then silent. When I went to bed that night, I heard the slithering sound again, like something was snaking its way around under the floor. It lasted for a good 2 minutes before it stopped. The next day, I met my duplex neighbor, Maud. She was near 80 years old with billowy white hair and wore a tattered terry cloth robe. One of the first things she said to me was unusual.
Do you hear it?
Hear what?
Under the floor.
I was relieved that I wasn't the only one to hear something strange. You heard it too? She nodded.
It likes fruit.
I was confused. What does? Maud shrugged.
The sewer is under us. God only knows what's down there.
Maud put her strong hands on my upper arms and pulled me close. She warned me in a whisper.
The garbage disposal makes it mad.
I wasn't sure if I heard her right. It was such a bizarre thing to say. What? She didn't repeat herself. She let me go, turned, and walked away. Even though I heard odd noises, I didn't take my new neighbor seriously. I wrote her off as a kook. Things were quiet the next couple of weeks. I had been working long hours, so wasn't home as often, and when I was home, I wasn't hearing anything out of the ordinary, and I almost forgot about those peculiar noises. It was a Saturday night. I had just sliced up a Granny Smith apple. I was going to take the apple slices to the couch and watch TV, but first wanted to dispose of the apple core. I tossed it down the garbage disposal and flipped the switch. The sound I heard emanating from the garbage disposal was ungodly. It sounded like a squealing pig gargling pop rocks. This was accompanied by a rhythmic clicking noise, not unlike a dolphin. Something awful was in my garbage disposal, and I wasn't going to wait around to find out what it was. I turned to run away from the kitchen, but felt something thick wrap around my throat. It was very muscular and slimy. It pulled me back, and when it twisted me around, I was able to see what I was dealing with. There was a fat, greasy tentacle sliding out from the garbage disposal. It was glistening as if covered in dirty maple syrup, and it reeked of sulfur. I opened my mouth to scream, but the tentacle wound its way into my mouth and down my throat, preventing me from crying out. The tentacle began to secrete some kind of acid. I could feel it oozing within my mouth and down my esophagus. It had a hot metallic taste to it, and I could hear my flesh begin to sizzle. The muscular tentacle pulled me into the sink, pounding my head against the stainless steel over and over as it tried to pull me into the garbage disposal. One would think this to be an impossible task, but my skin was disintegrating at an alarming rate. It was literally melting, and in no time I found myself being sucked down through the garbage disposal and into the dark depths of the sewer below. I knew now what happened to the previous tenant. I just wouldn't be around to tell anyone about it.
We hope you enjoyed the show. We're dying for you to come back for more. Visit maniacontheloose.com, sign up for our newsletter, and I'll give you some free stuff. We'll see you soon. Very soon. I have some exciting news. You can now get Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast merchandise. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, and much more. Choose from two different Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast logos or get merchandise with one of my book covers on it. Visit maniacontheloose.com/store. That's maniacontheloose.com/store.